Let's start with one of the most genuinely extraordinary scientific discoveries in recent memory. Astronomers have confirmed the existence of the first binary star system, where both stars went supernova, meaning both stars exploded, not just one. The evidence comes from the Jellyfish Nebula, a supernova remnant in the constellation Gemini, which appears to be linked to a nearby remnant in a way that suggests two companion stars each independently reached the end of their stellar lives and detonated. In the entire history of observational astronomy, we had never seen this.
To appreciate why this matters scientifically, binary star systems, pairs of stars orbiting each other, are actually quite common in the universe. But the conditions for both stars in a pair to both become massive enough to end in supernova, and for both to actually explode, rather than one stripping mass from the other and preventing it, are extraordinarily specific. Finding this system gives astronomers a new data point for modeling how binary stellar evolution actually works at extreme masses. It also has implications for our understanding of neutron star formation and potentially gravitational wave sources.
On Earth, and specifically in a Vermont lake, researchers have identified the first contagious cancer in fish. The species affected is the brown bullhead catfish, and the cancer type is transmissible melanoma. This is only the fourth contagious cancer ever confirmed across the entire animal kingdom. The others include devil facial tumor disease in Tasmanian devils, contagious canine transmissible venereal tumor in dogs, and a leukemia-like cancer in soft-shell clams. The discovery raises important questions about how transmissible cancers evolve and whether the mechanisms differ meaningfully between aquatic and terrestrial species.
In sports, Charlie Woods, Tiger's son, was eliminated from the U.S. Junior Amateur in a Wednesday playoff. Charlie has been navigating an extraordinary amount of media pressure for a teenager. Every round he plays is covered with the intensity usually reserved for professional major tournaments. The elimination was disappointing, but should be understood in the context of the U.S. Junior Amateur being genuinely one of the most competitive junior events in the world. His presence there at his age remains impressive regardless of the outcome.
The Pat McAfee and ESPN layoff story has cultural dimensions worth exploring. J.J. Watt, appearing on McAfee's show, joked, "Is everybody fired to pay you?" Which was funny enough that it went viral, but it also touches on a real internal ESPN culture tension. McAfee is reportedly in contract negotiations that could pay him over $60 million per year. Simultaneously, ESPN has been cutting prominent voices. Ryan Clark, Carl Ravech, and others have been let go. Whether those cuts are caused by McAfee's contract, by cord-cutting revenue pressure, or by a strategic pivot toward different programming formats, the optics of lavish talent deals alongside workforce cuts are always politically uncomfortable.
And the chatfishing story from Bloomberg is genuinely fascinating as a cultural moment. An increasing number of dating app users are outsourcing their conversations to ChatGPT, Claude, and similar AI tools, having the AI write their messages, respond to matches, and essentially conduct the early stages of courtship on their behalf. Bloomberg interviewed people who had developed what they thought was genuine chemistry through weeks of messaging, only to meet in person and discover the witty, insightful person they'd been texting with didn't quite exist in three dimensions.
It raises a question that I find genuinely interesting from a technology ethics standpoint. If an AI can represent your values, your sense of humor, and your conversational style better than you can in real-time text, is the resulting connection inauthentic? You could argue that AI is just helping people express who they genuinely are, the same way a writing coach might help you write a better cover letter. Or you could argue that early romantic connection depends on seeing how someone actually thinks in real time, flaws and delays and awkward responses included. I lean toward the second interpretation, but it's a live debate.
Now, for our "what if we're wrong" discussion. The claim I want to stress test is the one we made confidently in segment 7, the assertion that Alphabet's and Tesla's falling after-hours stock prices, despite revenue beats, represent rational market skepticism about AI's near-term return on investment. This is basically the consensus view right now. Diamond agrees. Most analysts agree. The narrative is, tech companies are overinvesting in AI infrastructure. Returns will disappoint. and the market is correctly pricing in that disappointment.
I want to push on that. What would need to be true for this consensus to be wrong? First possibility, the revenue inflection from AI products is genuinely close. If Google's AI-powered search products, Gemini integrations, and cloud AI services start generating meaningfully higher revenue per user in the next 2 to 3 quarters, the current CapEx might look prescient rather than profligate. The history of infrastructure investment in computing is full of moments where the spending looked crazy until suddenly it didn't. Amazon's cloud spending from 2006 to 2012 looked like a money pit until AWS became the most profitable division in the company.
The deeper assumption we might be getting wrong is about the nature of competitive advantage in AI. The current bear case assumes that AI infrastructure is commodity spending, that everyone will build roughly similar capabilities, and no one will capture pricing power. But what if the infrastructure investments of the leaders, Google, Microsoft, Meta, create cumulative learning advantages that smaller or later entrants genuinely cannot overcome? If that's true, then the current spending isn't waste, it's a moat. And the companies not spending at this level are the ones making a strategic error.
There's also a timing question. Diamond's warning that returns will disappoint doesn't specify when. If he means the next 4 quarters, he might be right. If AI delivers transformative returns over a 5-year horizon, the current investor skepticism will look like a classic case of underestimating a major technology transition, similar to how the internet's economic impact looked modest in 1997 and transformative by 2002.
So what should listeners watch for if the consensus is wrong? 3 specific signals. Watch Google's revenue per search query in their next 2 earnings reports. If it stays flat or rises despite AI overviews, that undercuts the cannibalization argument. Watch whether enterprise AI software pricing holds. If Microsoft Copilot and similar tools maintain their per-seat pricing rather than being forced to discount, that suggests genuine enterprise value capture. And watch data center power contracts. If the utility and energy companies that supply these data centers are signing increasingly long-term high-price contracts, it means the AI infrastructure owners believe the demand is structural, not cyclical. Those 3 signals, tracked together, will give you a clearer picture than any single earnings report.